At CWH, our purpose is to glorify and honor God, help people come to know Jesus, and comfort God's people. Today, Dad advises us, do not underestimate the power of the devil, and speaks about remaining close to Jesus in his timeless message, Can Christians Be Demon-Possessed?
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And we're just always happy when the weekend comes so we can gather together all over the world. Just can you imagine that? And we just thank God for this wonderful privilege of worshiping the Lord together. And I thank you for opening your doors and letting us come in. Today we're going to be talking about a question that people ask several times, and that is, can a Christian be demon-possessed? Can a Christian be demon-possessed? And so that'll be our study. But first of all, I want to share with you some of the letters. The first one comes from Bismarck, North Dakota, and this person writes, I am an inmate in the North Dakota State Penitentiary. I've been a very bad man. In September of this year, I came back to God. Since that time, I also have watched you on TV. I am a resident here until December 25th, 2019. Please send a new song Bible study until then. I repented and was baptized as a child. I have repented again. Do I get baptized again? Thank you for your service. And so here's a dear brother. He knows Jesus, and he's asking if he should be baptized again. Now, baptism is a declaration of the fact that we have accepted Jesus. When we accept Jesus, then we're baptized to tell the whole world we're a follower of Christ. He did that when he was a little boy, and that's good enough for now. You won't need to be baptized again. But I just rejoice that here's a man, went away from God, knew God, went away from him, got into sin like so many of us do, and now he's back walking with the Lord. Here's Wichita, Kansas. I am a Christian, and I love the Lord with all my heart. I try to live the way he wants me to. I have a habit of talking about people, gossiping. Please pray that I would stop this bad habit. God bless you. Well, this is a letter from a lady, but on the same breath, I want to tell you, men can be just as bad gossipers as any lady. And so it's a sin because it hurts people. And it's what we call, you know, I was raised in Western South Dakota, and they had cowboys out there in those days, and they had what they called a bushwhacker. And he was a cowboy. He would hide behind some bushes or a tree, and then his enemy would ride through. Somebody would ride through. He'd shoot him in the back. And they were called bushwhackers. That's what gossipers are. They shoot people in the back. And we ought to be very careful. If you can't say something good about somebody, just don't say anything. But I admire this lady for writing, and I know God's going to give her a victory. Here's Christchurch, New Zealand. Thank you, Pastor Salem, from Joyce and Gilbert in New Zealand. We love your teaching program on Daystar every Sunday afternoon. Well, I asked Kent to check this out, and do you know how far it is to New Zealand? 8,200 miles. And here we are worshiping together. But I've got a soft spot in my heart for New Zealand because I had a granddaughter who studied in New Zealand. And she talked about it as a beautiful, beautiful country. And she said that the people were just wonderful to her. So I thank you for being so good to my granddaughter. She went on to college. She's got her doctor's degree, and she's in research for cancer research at this time. So God bless the people in New Zealand. Here's Bel Air. One more I want to read. Bel Air, and this person writes, I feel so blessed to find Bel Air, Michigan. I feel so blessed to find your program. I'm 72 years old. I'm a Pentecostal sister in the love of sweet Jesus. Thank you for blessing me. And when you get to know Jesus, I've been a Christian for 86 years, and I'm not always a wonderful Christian, but I've been saved for 86 years, and I know that Jesus is sweeter every day. And if you don't love Jesus, it's because you don't know him. And if you would receive him into your heart and have him take away your sins and give you peace and contentment and joy of heart, then you'll get to love Jesus. And the more you know him, the more you'll love him. And I think of the words of Leela Long, and she writes it like this. It's a song, and she says, "There is no name in earth or heaven above that we should give such honor and such love as the blessed name. Let us all acclaim that wondrous, glorious name of Jesus." And then the chorus goes, "Jesus is the sweetest name I know, and he's just the same as his lovely name. And that's the reason why I love him so. Oh, Jesus is the sweetest name I know." And I just pray that you know Jesus. And when you pray for the Christian Worship Hour and you support us with financial gifts that we have to have, we're letting the whole world know all over the world. For instance, in shortwave radio, Christian Worship Hour reaches 90% of the world's population. And so you need to pray for us that we make the name of Jesus known, and lives will be changed. Souls will be saved from hell, and they'll have their names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And you need to just say, "Dear Jesus, please come into my heart and take away my sins. And I'll forsake them the best I can. I'll follow you the best I can. And thank you, Jesus." That's right. That's it. And Jesus will come into your heart. So thank you for the nice letters. And you get your pencil and paper out at the end of the service. I'm going to tell you how you can write us a letter and bless us, and we can pray for you too. But we're thinking today about, can a Christian be demon-possessed? I'm asked that very often. So I want to preach that sermon today, and I have 2 points. Someone asked one time, "How many points should a good sermon have?" And the professor answered, "Well, it ought to have at least one good point." Well, I got 2 points, so you're in luck. And we're going to look about this matter. And the two points is this. First of all, demons can influence a Christian. They can influence a Christian. Demons cannot, number two, the second point, demons cannot possess a Christian. So let's look at that. There we can, first of all, demons can influence a Christian. They can influence Christians and non-Christians alike. Dr. Lewis Berry Schaefer points out, we must be careful to distinguish between demon possession or control and demon influence. So far as demon possession is concerned, only unbelievers are exposed to that. Christians can never be possessed by the demons. But Christians can be influenced by the Christians. And for so that way, we need to be careful. In demon possession, the very body of the person is inhabited by a demon or demons or even Satan himself. And so then the personality is invaded and controlled. The person is dominated by the demon, is controlled by the demon. That's demon possession. In demon influence, the attack is made from without, not from within us, from without. That attack comes in the form of pressure, peer pressure, to push you into their mold, to make, and young people especially have a battle with this. We ought to pray for the precious young people, because they don't want to go against the gang, the crowd, the group. They don't want to be different. Peer pressure, or just suggestions that Satan can give us, or the demons can give us maybe temptations, or anything that it were to do wrong is a work of the demons. And so demon influence can take many different forms. When you see somebody that departs from the faith, the Word of God, when you see somebody who denies that the Bible is the Word of God, they're being influenced by the demons, by Satan. And when you see them teaching something contrary from the Word of God, and where, like, for instance, Jesus teaches there is a hell, and there'll be others who say, no, there is no hell. There's nothing. When you die, you're just like a dog. That's influenced by the devil, the demons. They're at work there. It's shown in doctrinal corruption. It's also shown in perverting the truth. It's shown in disunity in the body of Christ. That's not the Holy Spirit causing church divisions and church battles. It's the devil himself or the demons are at work there. 1 John 4:1-2. And when we have hypocrisy, and when we lie about how we're living and we don't live up for the Lord, then that becomes the work of the devil. Worldliness, 2 Timothy 3:4. This world is not the friend of God. God says that the world is an enemy of God. And so if you're going to be a friend of the world, you're not a friend of God, see? And so the devil has lots of ways to work. The demons can influence the believer. The believer can influence a believer, but it cannot possess a believer. We cannot possess a believer. My second point is, demons cannot possess a Christian. Keep that in mind. Keep this in mind. Jesus Christ is greater than Satan. Jesus Christ is greater than Satan. Jesus Christ is God. Jesus Christ is omnipotent. That means he has all power. Jesus Christ is omniscient. That means he has all wisdom and all knowledge. Jesus Christ is omnipresent. That is, he is everywhere in this whole wide world. And he's as close as your breath. And he knows every heartache and every time you have a trouble. And you look to Jesus, beautiful Jesus. Now, don't forget that. Keep that in mind, that God is greater than Satan. And I want to give you a whole bunch of verses, and you might want to write them down. Or if you want to get there, you can get this on CD or DVD, and you write to us. I'll give you the address at the end of the service, and we send them on a free will offering basis. But look down, put down 1 John 4:4, and it says, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because, listen to this, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. That means that when we accept Jesus, we have the Holy Spirit within us. And the Holy Spirit is God. He's a third person of the Trinity. And he's greater than Satan. And Satan can never overpower him or take his territory. There's a victory that every Christian over the anti-Christian world. And that is because God is greater. And we belong to him. We belong to God. God belongs to us. We are in God. God is in us when we accept Jesus as our Savior. It's just like a sponge in a bucket of water. Is the water in the sponge or is the sponge in the water? They're so closely united. And when we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, that wonderful Holy Spirit comes and Jesus said he will dwell with us forever. And then 1 John 3:8 tells us, he that committeth sin is of the devil. The devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifest, that he, listen to this, might destroy the works of the devil. And so Jesus destroyed the works of the devil when he went to the cross, died on the cross, paid for the sins of the world, and was raised the third day. He destroyed the devil's power. And then in John 16:33, this is what Jesus said. These things I have spoken unto you, that ye might have peace. In the world, you'll have tribulation. That's what he told us. In the world, you'll have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. The devil is the prince of the power of the air. But Jesus Christ is greater than Satan. And someday, Satan is going to be cast into the lake of fire forever and forever. God is the greatest. And we have no fears when we stay close to God and trust in the dear Lord Jesus. Another scripture you need to write down is when Jesus prayed to the Father in heaven. And he's prayed in John 17:12. He says, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept. And none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. None of them is lost. None of them is lost. He keeps us. God keeps us. And he goes on in John 10:28-29. He goes on and he says, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. And I hold them in my hand, and no man can pluck them out of my hand. And then he goes on and he says, my Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. And so what it means when you accept Jesus Christ, and you pray and ask Jesus to come into your heart and save you from your sin, Well, when you do that, the God, Jesus Christ takes you and holds you in his hand, and then the Heavenly Father holds Jesus' hand. And it's not me holding on to Jesus. It's not me holding on to God. And don't let God slip. Don't let him slip. No, he's holding on to me. And like one old farmer told me one time, his grip don't slip. And when Jesus Christ holds us in his hand, we're safe. And I had one man tell me one time, he says, well, what if I want to get out of his hand? What if I get out of his hand and go into sin? I says, Buster, do you think you're greater than God and you can break God's hold? Where did you come from? You need help, my friend. And so he holds us. Another scripture is given is Ephesians 1, 13 and 14. In whom ye also trusted after ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after ye believed ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, the Holy Spirit of God. We are God's possession. We are God's property, and no one is going to touch God's property. We belong to him. And when we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior and we give our life to him, because that's what we do. Jesus taught repentance, and that means turn from that old way and walk that new way with Jesus, see? When we do that, we can never, ever be lost when we accept Jesus. We're safe forever, held in his hand. Oh, I love to preach that, because I don't care what your sins are, you come to Jesus. He loves you. He wants to receive you. But that love of God will end when you die, because then it's death. Is there after death the judgment? No changing then. Let's look at 1 John 5, verse 18. And here God says, we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. Now that I want you to look at this. The wicked one toucheth him not. That's Satan and the demons. God says they can't even touch you. When you have accepted Jesus Christ, you say, and the devil comes to you, and they want to tempt you or something, you say, you can talk to my Lord. He's in my heart here. And you talk to him, and he'll take care of this. Now, in this verse, and I want to point this out, it says, we know that he that sinneth not. That is not a good translation. That is a bad translation, because there's no such thing as people, as Christians that never sin. We sin every day. We accept Jesus Christ, we have one bad thought. We sin every day. And that's why we're foretold in 1 John 1:9. And 1 John 1:9 was written to Christians. See, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so what this simply means is, when we know the Lord Jesus Christ, well, then this wonderful Savior will help us. And when we do sin, and we do sin at different times, it's impossible not to. He forgives us because the Advocate, our Heavenly Father, is, and he's interceding for us. And this wonderful Jesus Christ tells us in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1, my little children, these things write I unto you that ye sin not. But if any man sin, 1 John 2, verse 1. If any man sin, we're all going to sin. Then what happens? We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And so we sin after our salvation. But this wonderful Lord Jesus Christ, he is at the right hand of God, and he intercedes for us, and he is our wonderful, wonderful advocate at the very throne of God. And so when we accept Jesus Christ, then we have that. We're saved and we're kept by his power. Now we're going to have attacks by Satan. And he's always there to fight us. And he's always there to give us trouble. And he always will do everything he can to make us sin. And just remember this. The devil can't even touch the child of God unless the Lord allows it. And sometimes he does allow it to happen, because he wants to teach us some things. Maybe he has to chasten us, and we're drifting into sin. And so the devil can do something through us, and he can cause us to stop in our tracks and turn back to God. Maybe God wants to teach us to be more patient. Maybe he wants us to be more trusting. Maybe he wants to draw us closer to himself. Maybe he wants to correct us in the way we walk. And so sometimes God allows Satan to do things and to move us and to change us, to bring us back to God. There's a beautiful illustration of that in the Old Testament. It's the story of Job. Now, Job belonged to God, J-O-B, Job. And I hope you've read it. If you haven't, you read his book. It's a long book, but it's worth reading. And Job was the most righteous man. That's what the neighbors all said. He's the most righteous man on earth. But you know what else? God said in heaven, he was the most righteous man on earth, Job. Now the devil goes to Job and he said, and God says, have you seen my man Job? He's a man that loves me and serves me. And God, and the devil says, yes, why wouldn't he? Because you've blessed him and he has children, 7 sons, 7 daughters. He's got cattle. He's got camels. He's got riches. He's got a house. He's a strong man. Why wouldn't he follow you? And then the devil says, if you let me take his property away, you let me touch him and he'll change. He'll curse you. And God says, all right, I tell you what you do, oh devil. You can take his property. You can take his children. You can take his home. But you can't touch Job. And that's what the devil did. He took everything that Job had, but he never touched Job. And then he goes back and God said, you see, he loves me. It isn't what I've given him. And the devil said, yeah, but you let me take his health. You let me touch him. You let me take his health and he'll curse you and die. And God says to the devil, this is what he says. You can touch him, but you can't take his life. The devil's on a leash. And if God says you can't even get near my child, you can't. But if God, maybe there's a battle behind the scenes that we don't see. In the scriptures, we talk about the mystery of iniquity. What? Something behind the scenes. There's a battle going on. And maybe it's fought through his people. And we live for the Lord. And so we conquer things for the Lord. And so then we can live for the Lord. And so the devil says, all right, God says to the devil, you can touch Job, but you can't take his life. You know the story. He is filled with boils and he's about to die. And his wife says, Job, why don't you curse God and die and get out of here? And what did Job say? Though he slay me, though he kills me, I love God and I'll never turn. He was genuine. We see that in the persecuted church right now where they're taking their lives and they're saying, you can take my head, but I'll never renounce Jesus Christ. You can't imagine that, can you? Unless you're a born-again believer, unless you have Jesus Christ, and unless you're dedicated to him. And I don't know if I'm dedicated that much or not. I hope I am, but I wouldn't have bet on it. But they're giving their life. Job didn't have to give his life. He had more at the end than he had at the beginning. But the point is, he tried, the devil did everything he can. And so what we need to do, friends, is stay close to Jesus Christ. Read your Bible every day. Pray every day. Get into a church. And don't go to it and go to a church where they're preaching the Bible. Ask the pastor if he believes the Bible is the Word of God. That's a good place to start and see if he's using the Word of God. And if he isn't, find a church that is, because they'll be somewhere, someplace. And don't go to a church to see what you can get. You go to the church to see what you can give, how you can help them, and you need to have each other. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Get into a church. Get into the Word and have no part with the world, the fortune tellers and all of the rest of it. And watch out for the gang that you live with. And so, my dear friends, maybe you're not a Christian today. Maybe you don't know Jesus Christ. You know about him, but you don't know him until you've asked him into your life. As many as received him, Jesus said, as many as received him, Jesus, to them gave he power to become the children of God, even to those that believe on his name, John 1:12. Now, Jesus says you have to receive him. And you say, how do you receive Jesus? It's very simple. In Revelation 3:20, Jesus says, I stand at the door and knock, the heart door. If any man open the door, I will come in. And you just say, dear Jesus, please come into my heart and take away my sin. And I'll follow you the best I can, even unto death if I need to, Lord. And thank you, Jesus. And you're born again, and you're a child of God. Now, if you made that prayer, we hope that you'll just follow through and you write to us wherever you are. We'll send you some literature to help you get started. But the main thing is get into the Word and study it. And although maybe you've drifted away, maybe you're like this man in prison. He says he's been a bad man. Well, we've all been bad at times. And so he came back to Jesus. And you come back and Jesus will receive you. And so I'm just praying today now that all over the world, you'll be asking Jesus into your heart. And I'm going to pray for you now, and we're going to pray. And in our prayer, we're going to pray for the Christians in North Korea, the persecuted church. Dear Heavenly Father, we just pray that you'll help your people today and watch over them and help us all to love you and serve you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, let me give you the address. Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. If you have access to an internet, you can get us on that. All the stories on there on ChristianWorshipHour.com. And you need to send us some help, our prayers and your gifts. We're dependent upon you. We don't have any other source of income but God's people. And you can know that it's being used well and wisely because we're a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Christians. And so just write to us, Box 2002, all of you on the Christian, especially on the internet, but the rest of you, Box 2002, Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. So now we'll be praying for you, and you pray for us. And we'll be looking forward to seeing you next week. We're going to have a wonderful sermon about Peter. And everybody loves Peter. And we're going to see how he fell and then how he came back to God. So you just pray for us. We'll pray for you. God loves you. The Christian Worship Hour loves you. Man, we have you at heart. And you have our prayers and our love. So just write to us. Pray for us. And we'll see you next week. Lord willing, God bless you, everyone.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. If you would like to learn more about having a relationship with Jesus and grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, click the encouragement link on our website at cwh.org. You may also stream more programs, subscribe to our monthly newsletter, and view Pastor Salem's devotions and answers. We would be most grateful if you would pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel. God bless you.